5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters, hollering about Trump 2024. You heard me? Woo, woo. Wah. Gangsters. The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man. American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back when the masks and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's gonna be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up. You heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's gonna be, cause we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Remember to get the podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening material, as we walk ever closer to 2.5 million people who have downloaded that podcast. You guys are the best and we appreciate you. Hey, now is the time for us to bring in our national security expert, John Guandolo. John has worked in the government as a federal agent. He is a Marine. He is a dad. He is he's everything. And John, you were called to testify in this case against Rebecca Lavrins, the retired registered nurse, 71-year-old great-grandma, who got pinched for praying inside the Capitol on January 6th. Tell us about that.
Well, I did. After I spoke on your show last week, I was I did a video testimony, which is a little unusual, but they allowed it because of the short notice. And now, since that testimony, I've got a slew of other trials I'm being asked to testify in, which I think is good. And I want to do that, especially after you and I had the discussion, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about the article that came out about me being there. And there was, one of the J6 defendants thought that myself and my buddy, who's still in the FBI, were actually working for the FBI that day, when in fact we're just, I want to help these people because they are being, this is just a travesty of justice. But that aside, I think this case was one that had a real chance of winning. And I think evidence of that is the fact that I believe this is the longest deliberation in any of the J6 cases. They deliberated until last night. After Monday, she testified, the defendant testified, and she's a pretty amazing lady.
71 years old, right? She's from Colorado Springs, owns a bed and breakfast. She went to the Capitol the way you went to the Capitol, John. You're from Dallas, right? You went to the Capitol that day for a reason, and it wasn't to represent the FBI. It was because you're a Christian, you love America, and you wanted to be there to pray over what was going to be one of the biggest dates in history.
That's right, and that's why she was there. As well, and she did. And when you, here's what I want to share with your audience so they understand how corrupt these trials are. Really corrupt. The judge's instructions to me before the jury came in was that I was not to mention anything about anything except exactly what I saw on that day and nothing else. I could not mention the fact that I had served with the FBI, that I had worked in the U.S. Capitol and with the Capitol Police as liaison. And you know why that is because that gives great credibility to my testimony that this is the people's house. And when, you know, the Capitol police officer holds the door open for Rebecca as she walks in, what is a normal human being would think? I'm in a spot I am okay to be in.
Correct.
Because she literally walked in. And they charged her with 4 federal misdemeanors. And again, I, for your audience, restating, nobody's been charged with the kind of things that on TV they're claiming, that this was an insurrection. The FBI director himself said there was no organized effort on January 6th, because an insurrection without weapons and without an organized effort
pretty
isn't
crappy.
An insurrection.
Yeah, it's a pretty crappy effort, yeah.
It's complete bullcrap. But I want to stay on this case because the judge's instruction, I've testified in a lot of trials, criminal trials, counterterrorism trials, other things. I've never heard instructions to a witness like this. The counsel couldn't ask me any questions about that are relevant to my testimony and to my credibility. They couldn't ask, Mr. Guandola, tell us about your background. In part of my testimony, because I grew up in the D.C. area and my dad worked in the government, I knew the downtown, the Smithsonian buildings, the Capitol. I knew those things very well. And so I started to say, you know, it's been my experience. And they were like, objection! And the judge shut everything down and then he said to me, Mr. Guandola, remember the instructions I gave you? I'm like, Your Honor, I grew up in D.C.
What they're doing, John, what it was...
It was insane.
You're not allowed to offer context, which in human language allows us to make decisions and
That's
find
right.
the truth. They're not
That's
interested
right.
in the truth.
They're
interested
not.
In their truth.
That's right. It was a real travesty. I mean, I mean this. I don't mean this as a cliche. It was unbelievable to me the way this was run. And what's even more to me, more motivating, on the opposite side of this, or is motivating to me, is that Miss Labyrinth's attitude through this whole thing, to me, has been unbelievable. Like her faith, her trust in God, and her desire just to do the right thing. She's just kind of walking through this and taking it as it comes. And I think that is a great example for all of us as this real tyranny continues to grow as it is.
You know, I don't like to drift off too much into religion and things of that nature, but I have to say, after interviewing Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the Oath Keepers, earlier this week, John, and listening to his resolve from his federal lockup in Cumberland, Maryland, and listening to some of the comments that Rebecca Lavrins has made about maybe now people will pay attention to this. Maybe this has to happen to me. Maybe I was chosen in this moment because
right.
I'm supposed to be here. You have to sometimes give into that, I think, in order to stay sane.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think if there are certain benchmarks, and you talk about you've spoken about quite a number of them on your show, and I think Stuart Rhodes is one of them, his case. But there have been a lot of moments in the last, I will just say the last year, and even in the last 6 months, that are just 1,000-pound anvils dropping on our heads
yes.
to help wake us up. Like, this is how bad it is. And I want to just tie this piece in. You know, the training that I do for communities, one of the things that happens in the first hour is people realize, like, and they say it out loud, like, holy cow, this is much worse than we thought it was. And I'm like, yeah, but we're only an hour into this, you know, training. If we could give you a week of this, you would realize it's much, much worse. The depth of the deception, the depth of the propaganda, the depth of the evil, because these prosecutors in these cases are not seeking justice. They see blood in the water, and they want to go after it. They're perpetuating this lie that what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 6th was an insurrection, was an assault on the government, and it was exactly the opposite. It was people who hate to see what's happening to their country. They want to defend, like the Oath Keepers, the Constitution, and they want our leaders to abide by the oath of office that they took. And that's, in this case, this is what Rebecca did in this case, is she just went up there. Somebody held the door for her. She walked in. We have the video. She wasn't rioting. She was just wandering around because she was let in. And now she's getting charged for that and has now been convicted. If this isn't enough to wake someone up, I'm not sure you're going to wake up. At this point,
I think that right there, what you just said, was so pivotal and is the point. John, hang on, because we've got more to discuss on the flip side of this break. If they can go after a 71-year-old great-grandmother who prayed, if they can go after an 89-year-old Holocaust survivor and threaten her with 11 years in prison for praying outside an abortion clinic, wake up. What are they going to do to you? More with John Guandolo after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Back out to our national security expert, former FBI agent, Marine, John Guandolo. John, you texted me this week. I had a show, and the title of the show was "The Panic Is Real." And you responded to me with, "Oh, you have no idea how panicky they are." So tell me what you meant by that in response to that program.
Well, I think what we're seeing and what our intelligence is showing is that both on the jihadi side, but mostly on the communist side, they are freaking out. And I'll give a couple examples and explain why I think this is very important, because we've seen them do this before, and it never ends well. So this week, the push, at least in the narrative, is they are hitting certain things politically, and they're saying certain things out loud. And as you've mentioned on the show, when they start saying the really crazy stuff out loud, like a lot of people have been doing for 20 years. They'll never do that. That's crazy. You know, I remember when Mr. Obama said we're going to fundamentally change America, and a lot of people, Rush Limbaugh among them and others, pointed that out, that he means to do it. And they're like, "Ah, he's crazy. He just means, you know, we're going to change this or that." No, he meant we're going to turn over the Constitution. We're going to take a big dump on it, and we're going to turn this into a totalitarian system. That's what he meant, because he's a Marxist. He's a Saul Alinsky trained, schooled Marxist, and that's what he continues to do as he oversees this administration. So what we're seeing now is it's become clear to them that Mr. Biden is likely not going to win the election. If it's between Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. And so they are losing their minds. So they're looking at the state and local level. How can we rein back in control? And they're doing all kinds of things. Everything from looking at not changing the way elections are held in Nebraska, because they need that Omaha vote,
right?
Because it's one of two states in there, and I think you discussed that this week. And I just, it's all that, but it's also, here's the what I meant by my response is, when you corner, like when you trap an animal or corner an animal, they don't respond well, right? They will attack, and that's where these people are, and they are nothing less than wild animals. Dangerous wild animals who hate God, who hate liberty, who hate the Constitution, And that's what we're dealing with. And now they are backed into a corner where they realize all the work that they've done in these last 10-plus years, especially through the Obama and now the Biden administration, and even the work they were able to do to prevent Mr. Trump from doing a lot of what he was trying to do, it's right in front of them, and they can see it possibly disappearing. That's why I say people who don't think that they won't reach out and kill Mr. Trump in order to keep power, I don't think you're dealing in reality if you don't think they would do that. If you don't think they will kill people as they have done when they put rioters on the streets and pay for rioters across America to kill people and burn down businesses, they are doing all that they're doing intentionally. The president is funding the largest nation state on the planet intentionally. He's defending a lot of the things that are destroying, and he's intentionally putting into place things that are destroying this country. And it's not just him. It's this whole machine. So I think the danger is they will do whatever they need to do. And a lot of these things you've spoken about, the fact that you have Republicans stepping down in order to give the Democrats the majority before the election, so that if the election is tight or if there are any issues, the Democrats will control Congress and therefore will control what will appear to be a legitimate process, but it's not a legitimate process because the powers of our government are controlled by a hostile enemies of liberty, communists, jihadis, their collaborators, and the people financing them. So just like Hitler, just like Stalin, they will use the process to make it appear as if, hey, we're going through the normal bureaucratic process to get things done, but they are not. They control the process. There is only one outcome, and it's their outcome, and that means we're living right now in a tyranny. We're not moving towards tyranny. We live in a tyranny. And now we're just waiting for this thing to explode in our face. And I still am astounded, go back to our very first point, that if the arrest and conviction on four felony misdemeanors of a 71-year-old great-grandmother who was praying at the Capitol, if that doesn't get your attention, if all these other things haven't gotten your attention, you are more screwed up than a football bat, and I'm not sure there's anything we can do to get you awake. People that are awake right now, it's up to you.
Yes.
It's up to you.
This is the moment. This is what I say, you guys. You were made for this moment. John Guandolo, as always, sir, thank you so much for your expertise. He sees what we see, but on a deeper level, he was with them in the federal government. He knows. Quick time out when we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. We got to talk about this push to put the woman who got Ashley Biden's diary in jail. That's next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. There's so many stories out there that just don't make sense until you start thinking about what John Guandolo said. Until you start thinking about what is at stake, particularly for the uniparty establishment left and the Rhino Republicans who are in bed with them in the swamp. What is at stake? Everything. Everything. This story, DOJ seeks prison time for woman who found Ashley Biden's diary that revealed old Joe's perverted acts with his daughter. Look, this is a headline on the Gateway Pundit. We can say, oh, that's fringe. That's something that's not real. No, but it is real. It's as real as Hunter Biden's freaking laptop was. And they lied to you about that. And they did everything under the sun to sell that story to you. It wasn't about Hunter Biden. It wasn't about his drug-addled life. It wasn't about addiction. It was a Russian disinformation operation. And they trotted out more than four dozen high-ranking individuals within the government to tell us all about it. This, don't believe what you're hearing. Don't believe what you're hearing. No, no, no. That's not what's going on. The FBI went and took the laptop and they looked at it and they knew damn well what was on it. And they lied to your face. And they want you to consider still voting Democrat. Hey, Brock, would you mind hanging up the phone? I think I'm hearing like a busy signal in my ear. Thank you very much. This is what they're doing here as well. Remember when there was an Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's daughter, this diary. I don't know. I guess people keep diaries. I've never kept a diary. Whatever. In it, allegedly, she detailed being very active at a young age sexually and being in a shower, being forced to shower with her father. And I'm not talking about when she was three. Let's talk teen years. What? So this diary comes out. It apparently gets quote unquote found. And then the woman who finds it tries to sell it to James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. He buys it, pays tens of thousands of dollars for it, goes through it, and doesn't publish anything on it. Why? He could not verify the authenticity of it. What happens to him? His house gets raided. He gets arrested, right? All of this, that's a lot of muscle. It's a lot of action for something that doesn't exist. Well, clearly it does. And clearly Joe Biden is disgusting. And judging by his behavior with children and other things, you're not surprised. Well, this is an intriguing twist. That the DOJ should seek prison time for a woman who found Ashley Biden's diary revealing old Joe's perverted acts with his daughter. Loofah alert, you guys will want to scrub. As previously reported, Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's youngest daughter, left her diary under a mattress at the Palm Beach rehab home following a stay at a treatment facility. Don't you feel for all the people ensconced in the Biden family legacy? Everybody's got some major issue. Why? Because he's dirty. Two individuals who found Ashley Biden's diary at a halfway house later sold the diary to James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. In a January 2019 entry, Ashley Biden recalled how she used to shower with her father, Joe Biden, and suggested it may have contributed to her sex addiction. Oh, that's not funny. Nobody's gloating about this. It's gross. They want to tell you because Donald Trump called people who are animals, animals, that his hateful and divisive rhetoric is what we should be talking about. I'm pretty sure we should be worried about a president who takes showers with his daughter. I've always been boy crazy, Ashley wrote. Hypersexualized at a young age. I remember somewhat being sexualized with a family member. The name redacted. I remember having sex with friends at a young age. Showers with my dad. Probably not appropriate, she wrote in a January 2019 entry, according to the Daily Mail. James O'Keefe was later the victim of a late-night FBI raid. He was arrested by the Biden regime. The two individuals who found Ashley Biden's diary at a halfway house pled guilty to conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. Well, we're going to put that on it. We're not going to talk about the contents. We're not going to talk about, ew, no dude showers with his kid, period. Right? We're going to go after her. Joe Biden's DOJ now using their guilty pleas, these two women, to go after Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe. Now the Department of Justice is seeking prison time for a woman named Amy Harris. She's the one who found the diary under Ashley Biden's mattress. The Hill reports the Department of Justice is seeking prison time for Amy Harris, the woman who stole the diary of the president's daughter, Ashley Biden, and sold it to conservative media site Project Veritas for tens of thousands of dollars before the 2020 presidential election. According to the DOJ, Harris was temporarily staying at the Delray Beach, Florida residence of Ashley Biden in September 2020 when she stole the thing containing highly personal entries, as well as tax records, a cell phone, and family photographs. Harris enlisted defendant Robert Kurlander to assist her in selling the collected material. Look, she sounds like a dirtbag too. Project Veritas, based in New York, paid Harris and Kurlander $20 each for the diary and other materials the pair returned to Florida to obtain. Project Veritas is a controversial media outlet known for sting operations, sending its staffers undercover to record sources and capture what they say is a true story behind the headlines. In November, the DOJ raided the two locations, blah, blah, blah. Project Veritas never published the diary, but a different website did. O'Keefe said he received the diary from tipsters who found it abandoned in a hotel room, said he did not publish it because he could not verify its authenticity. Amazing. Someone with some kind of integrity out there at all. Look, these people lied to you from go. They lied to you about COVID. They lied to you about the election. They lied to you about the data and the routers and the machines. They lied to you about all of these court cases. There's never been, no cases have gone forward. They've lied to you about the corruption. They've lied to you about the Beltway bribery and all the garbage blackmail scandal. They've lied about everything. Why on God's green earth would you ever believe anything they told you, Chris Cuomo? Because you just said to RFK Jr. that you thought it was ridiculous that he was skeptical of 9/11, of the government's story. I'm skeptical of every daggone thing, everywhere, everything they say, everything the media parrots. Anytime Nancy Pelosi opens her mouth, anytime a member of Congress opens their mouths, I'm skeptical. And if you're not, to quote our friend John Guandolo, it's too late. You're probably not going to wake up. Indeed, some of us will not be saved. Let's do it, Brock. I need some good news, baby, 'cause like the world's gone crazy. Give me some good news, baby. Give it to me. Give it to me. This is a very dear story. My boyfriend, Steve Hartman from CBS News, takes us to a tiny Colorado town that has apparently the worst football field in America. Well, at least they used to. Enjoy.
250 miles south of Denver, near the edge of isolation, sits the tiny town of Branson, Colorado. Blink, and you'll moose it. But Branson does have a sight to see, what many have dubbed the worst football field in America.
No, I don't dispute that title.
Brad Doherty is the Branson High School athletic director and head dirt's keeper.
How bad can a football field be?
We would go out before every game and fill in and collapse as many gopher holes as we could find. Mm. It felt like Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
And the grass would stab you, the grass. Maybe you'd land in cactus if you're lucky.
But the Bearcats loved football enough to endure. Until the end of last season, when the other teams in the league said they wouldn't play on this rocky rectangle of high desert anymore. It was just too dangerous, they said.
It was pretty heart-wrenching to hear that people didn't want to come play on our field.
Football in our community is the one thing that grabs everybody and brings everybody together.
Which is why Brad decided to attempt a Hail Mary. Had the kids make a video explaining how they needed artificial turf because they didn't have enough water in Branson to grow real grass. And how the price shocked the school board.
We need your help.
Brad posted the plea on social media, hoping anyone outside Branson would see it.
You just do that for kids.
But this was a goal that was destined to fail.
Yeah, and that's why it was so amazing.
Thanks to the kindness of strangers from across the country, Branson's Bad News Bearcats are back in the ballgame. Ended up raising more than $500,000 and now have the best field in the league. They just had their first game and won by almost 60 points. But Brad says the bigger victory is the field itself.
It became something that we show our kids. You can aspire to do great and impossible things.
An oasis of inspiration for generations to come. Steve Hartman,
hey, good job,
CBS News,
good stuff.
On the road.
I just absolutely love that. Get the tingles, kind of the shivers. It's great. Good news is always fantastic. Bad Joke Friday, ladies and gentlemen, on tap next. Do not go anywhere. You're dialed into the Weddy Bell radio program. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wendy Bell radio program. Now, the show is growing by leaps and by bounds. We are getting all sorts of new radio stations across America. You can help in that endeavor. If there's one that's got a bunch of tired old voices on it and you want to hear a common sense conservative mom, why don't you solicit them and say, hey, you should take their show. You should do that. And then what you should do is you should say, and make sure you tune into Bad Joke Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York, and boy, my arm's tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, and we have to have Bad Joke Friday. They are dumb jokes, and that's the rule, because, quite frankly, the news sucks enough. We need to laugh at something. And so here you go. The first joke, always Dr. Richard Rafferty from the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. An aging priest in a little town in the Midwest listens to confessions twice a week, constantly hears the local congregation complaining that they've fallen, which is code word that the priest created for "Father, I committed adultery." Well, after many years of listening to these people complaining and knowing that a lot of them are sinners and keep committing the same sin, he decides he's going to retire. A new priest takes over. The new, young, ambitious priest listens to confessions twice a week. He keeps hearing the same complaints. "Father, I've fallen." So he goes to see the mayor and he says, "Mayor, I think we need to fix the streets in this town." The mayor says, "Why so?" Young priest says, "Well, because I keep hearing the congregation complain during confession that they've fallen." Mayor laughs it off and says, "No, that's just code word for I've committed adultery." Well, the priest says, "Well, I don't know why you're smiling and laughing. Your wife fell there three times this week." You knew it was coming.
Do you know how to turn any sofa into a sofa bed?
Okay, no, well.
Just tell your wife to calm down.
What do you call a group of security guards in front of the Samsung store?
I don't know.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, God. I'm afraid for the calendar.
Why?
Its days are numbered.
Father says to his son, "Son, you were adopted." Son says, "What? I knew it. I want to meet my biological parents." Father says, "We are your biological parents. Now pack up. The new ones will pick you up in 20 minutes.
How many times have you wanted to say that?
I don't know. No, never.
10 passengers have called me a terrible bus driver today. I don't know where these people get off.
A police officer called the station on his radio. "I have an interesting case here. An old lady shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped." He was asked, "Have you arrested the woman?" The officer said, "Not yet. The floor is still wet."
What kind of jewelry does the Easter Bunny wear?
Huh?
14 karat gold.
Oh, gosh. Stupid. Why was Cinderella so bad at soccer? Well, she kept running away from the ball.
Oh, God. What's the number one cause of divorce?
Oh, I don't know.
Marriage.
I called the paranoia hotline and they said, "How'd you get this number?" Oh my God, it took you a minute.
It did take me a minute.
That's fantastic.
What did the man in orthopedic shoes say?
Oh.
I stand corrected.
I'm entering the world's tightest hat competition later today. I just hope I can pull it off.
Wow. Did you know the first French fry were not cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece.
I can't read this one. It's too risque, Brock. It's about a midget. And
why
I'm
is
just,
that risque?
Because it's just not appropriate. I'm gonna make the decision.
Executive
here.
Decision.
Yes. Why couldn't the sesame seed get off the hill, ladies and gentlemen? It was on a roll. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Where do Kyle's farts come from?
Where?
The dairy air.
What do you call a flea in France? A parasite.
Oh, God.
Yes.
What do you call an overweight psychic?
What?
A fortune teller.
I recently attended a magic show in Mexico. The magician said, uno, dos, and then vanished without a trace. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
I failed Spanish.
Wow.
When do astronauts have lunch?
Astronauts, space. I don't know.
At lunchtime.
What do you get when a chicken lays eggs on top of a hill? Egg rolls. What do you get if you cross baked beans with onions? Tear gas. And why won't banks allow kangaroos to open accounts? Their checks always bounce.
Why did the M&M go back to school?
Huh.
To learn about other alphabets?
Oh, gosh. What do you call a cow's rear end? Hamburger buns. Stupid.
What do you call an ex-president that goes into the funeral business?
What?
Barack Embalmer.
That's stupid. What do you call a basement full of liberals?
Oh, boy.
A wine cellar. Wine cellar.
My mom always said one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah.
Turns out I was adopted.
Oh, my God. Why did Norway's Navy have barcodes all over their ships? So that when they come back into port, they can scan the Navy in. I don't know.
Scan the Navy in.
Oh, wow.
I just realized that cottage cheese isn't cheese at all.
Ugh.
It's just occurred to me.
Oh, gosh. So you're telling me you're in the Navy yet you don't know how to swim? I don't even know. This is going to be a long one, Brock. I don't think I can do it. Do you have a small one? You have a small one.
No,
we're out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Yes, you waited all week for that. Some days it's good. Some days, well, it's supposed
They're
to be bad.
Bad.
Supposed to be Bad Joke Friday for a reason. Hey, join us tomorrow. Brock's got the pet show on the channel, Wendy Bell Radio Network. Get the app. Join in. Even Sunday morning at 7 a.m. If you know, you know. We'll see you on Monday. Peace.